It's true. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. This is Now We're Talking. If you listened to the show last week, you'll know that we had a two-month hiatus, and that hiatus ended. I was in the booth here last week. I said last week it had happened a couple times before. I think it was the only time, really, for proper episodes of the show that I did it alone. Anyway, I also told you that Keith would be back. Keith, Happy New Year.
What?
I've actually prepared something special for you, Keith, just to acknowledge, because I haven't seen Keith since the New Year, and of course, this is the first show we're doing together since the New Year. So I'm just going to play this underneath and just say Happy New Year. We started the show last year. We had a 6-month run. We didn't get to say Happy New Year together in the booth.
Baby.
But right now, in the middle of February, with the sweet sounds of Kenny G. And by the way, I didn't choose this particular piece of music in some sort of effort to mock Kenny G.
No.
I went through many, many different incarnations of the song on YouTube, and I chose this
one. You chose the Kenny G
version.
Because
I thought it was the best version.
Well, he's got to be famous for some reason.
Yeah.
It's not just the curly hair.
No, it's the way he blows on that instrument, whichever one it is. Anyway, Happy New Year, Keith. So here we are in a new year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
You know, we talked a lot about the show as like, broke in our minds, broken up into episodes of 10 and series. But really, last year was 2016, and this is a new year.
We're
continuing the show. So we haven't really like premeditatively considered what the show is today. I think it's really just you and I catching up, maybe reflecting on what the show's been, what it's going to be moving forward. But where do we begin? Do you want to catch me up on what's been happening for you in your life?
Oh,
or what do you want to
do? First, I wanted to mention that I'm slowly, I think, is it Roger Daltrey is the guy from The Who? The lead singer?
Yes.
That's right.
For a second, I'm like, was he in Pink Floyd? No, he's
a
singer from The Who.
I'm slowly turning into him with this mic thing. I noticed I've been
the way you hold it?
Yeah, I've been playing with it and like wrapping it around. Like nobody knows how cool I am out there because I'm like ripping it up in here with this mic thing.
You are kind of like a rock singer with that
cable. I actually saw a live performance from The Who a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And I'd never realized how much he does that. I thought it was like a thing he did once in a while.
So he still has a cord?
Well, no, this was like from back in the day.
It wasn't like a new one. Because I'm like, poor guy, why doesn't he have a wireless microphone?
Yeah, he's just sitting in like a nursing home with a cord spinning. No, dude, he
cradling
did it like the whole song. Like when he wasn't singing,
yeah.
He was playing. Like it's almost like he's like a cranky, cranky's not the word. Almost like he's a nerd who was uncomfortable on stage and had to come up with a thing.
Yeah, with a thing to do.
Yeah, and it was like a crutch maybe because he was constantly whipping the cord and whipping the mic.
They're always
around.
Whipping, and then Pete Townsend's whipping his hand around the guitar.
Yeah, he does the guitar.
Everybody's
thing.
Whipping something.
Which another thing I was thinking about, that Pete Townsend thing is impressive because that's the science of how to whip a guitar around yourself like that is very exact.
Yeah.
It has to be a certain length, and you have to do it a certain amount of rate of speed, or it flies off.
Yeah, there's plenty of clips on YouTube of people not mastering
that
science. But really, the point that we're making here is that we're pointing out that you yourself are Daltrey-esque.
Yeah, in my
cord
usage.
In how you manage the cord.
My
it's
cord
interesting
handling.
For me, actually, as a singer, who I don't know, it's interesting to think the wireless thing becoming more and more prevalent, I guess. But there was a period of time, I guess, when I sang that there would be a mic cord. But generally not. And with stand-up comedy as well. Just, you know, that's part of managing, you know, the stand and the cable and the mic. But generally, when I sing, it's without a cable. And I forget that. I forget what it's like to be conscious of holding it in a certain
way. Stepping over it.
So you're not tripping over it, but you're deliberately stepping over it.
It's funny because I fancied myself a singer in my youth, and I had a microphone with a cord. I was right before that whole thing happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of get a kick out of it. You toy with it.
Yeah. I still fancy you as a singer in your youth.
Oh, thank you.
To this day. So that's talking about chords.
Girls did too, but
man, there's
so much
we could talk. We've already devoted a minute or two just to chords.
I know.
So how are we going to do this?
That's without the H. It's just regular old chords.
Give me the Coles notes on what's been happening in your life since I saw you 2 months ago.
Okay.
And then if we want to zoom in, we can't. But you know, there's so much to discuss as far as the show. I might not be interested to zoom in on anything.
Mm-hmm, that's true. We might get back to chords because I have more.
Yeah, because you've got a lot of notes there about chords.
Well, when I was off, I was thinking a lot about what does the audience really want to hear?
Need?
What
do
they want to hear from Keith?
Yeah, so we're kind of doing this backwards. We could have started the show by saying we've decided to go a new way with the show.
Yeah.
And it's chords.
Chords.
It's all about chords, not musical chords.
Not corduroy.
Not corduroy pants.
No.
Just actual cables.
Yeah, like monster cables.
Yeah.
And then I guess other kinds. There's other kinds.
There is. Last week on the show, I talked a lot about what last year was like for me and what the nature of the hiatus of the show beyond Christmas, my absence when I went to go visit a friend in Ontario. Is there anything that's been happening in your life that you want to report? Is there anything out of the ordinary? Is it business as usual?
Well, lots out of the ordinary, yeah. I mean, it's been a crazy time. Crazy time for Keith.
Go on. Like what? Because just to be clear, we have not had length, like we've texted a little bit, mm-hmm. but we haven't had conversations. So this is kind of like me actually asking.
Yeah, well,
you this,
as
not,
we discussed,
not pretending.
As we discussed just briefly before the show, we both had this inkling not to talk too much.
Yeah, there was a. Usually we meet about half an hour before the show, and I thought maybe we should just meet in the booth.
Yeah,
I'll press
and the
first red button.
Talk, yeah.
Yeah.
And there is, you can see there's energy and potency to not having discussed some of these things
yeah.
for a while.
Well, which we haven't, because you haven't really told me what has gone on. So what's been going on?
Well, I hope this is interesting, but I don't, did I talk about it before? I don't think so. They had to replumb my building.
Okay.
Plumb with a B.
Yes.
Big B at the
like
end.
Plumbing, not
yeah.
plums you eat.
Yeah. Okay. No one plumbed my depths either.
No.
Specifically.
It wasn't a metaphor. It was literally no. the pipes.
Yeah. So they repipe the whole building.
Okay.
And that is, as you know, I don't know if I've discussed it so much on the radio, but I'm a stringent in the way that I do my work every day.
Right. You have a routine.
Yeah. I get up, turn on my computer.
Yes.
Go take a whizzle.
Sure.
Return
Which
to the
requires
computer.
Plumbing. Yeah.
Sans pants.
Yes.
I don't even stop to dress.
Yes.
And I sit down at my computer
get
and I
work.
Face the demon.
Yeah.
And this replumbing crap has had all these dudes, and individually pretty nice guys.
Yeah.
But collectively, the friggin' devil.
Yeah.
In my apartment, like making noise and smashing shit and just like.
So how much work? How many
shit,
days
by the
of
way.
How many days of work? Did they had to have to do?
Well, this
days
is another thing. I don't want to get too much into the complain vibe here.
Sure.
But they started in the middle of December. Mm-hmm. They're not finished in the building yet, but they finished in my suite mm-hmm. on Friday.
Oh, wow. So there's
but they were supposed
weeks
to be
of
there.
You come in your
they
house?
Were supposed to have like 15 or 20 days like at maximum, and they had to give me like a week-long extension. And what happens is because they're all frazzled and they're working on the whole building at once, mm-hmm. they just sort of forget the politeness and the rules, so they'll just like walk into your apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have keys, of course, because they have to get in if you're not there. Now,
right.
I'm there all the time.
Because it just becomes their workspace and they
yeah,
kind of
and they
that.
Sort of walk in and do whatever they want. So like only once was I caught in my underoos, but I couldn't do my regular things. Regular things like going to the bathroom, because they'd come in and take the toilet apart to work behind
wow.
and just leave it that way all day. They'd go out on their breaks and then come back at lunch and they'd be like, oh, we didn't get it done in time. So I would have to, this is a serious thing, I would have to feel a pee coming on
mm-hmm.
and start getting dressed to walk to the Safeway to go to the bathroom.
Wow.
That's
and
a
to
real
be
thing.
To be clear, that's like a maybe 6-block walk or something.
Well,
it's,
I mean, it's
not
that.
Next door.
Again, it's not the end of the world. It wasn't
sure.
2-3 miles for water.
Why didn't you just
but
consider
it
peeing into a jar or something?
I can't do it, man.
Howard Hughes did it.
Can't do it. I can't use it.
That sucks.
No, I'm.
I would totally use it.
I can't.
So what, you tried and you failed to do that? Or you just know
no.
you can't? And how do you know you can't?
I just don't have a bottle big enough.
Oh.
The top part, that was a penis joke.
I can't believe you walk all the way to Safeway because you can't figure out how to pee into a container. But,
I'm like a little bitter, right? While it's happening, I'm like, to hell with these guys.
Right.
This was the story later, so I had to walk to Safeway.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go deposit this at Safeway.
Yeah.
And prove something to everybody.
Yeah, but I didn't get caught masturbating.
Good.
Which was great.
Yes.
But I also couldn't masturbate all that much.
Well, you could, but it would definitely be a very different experience.
And again, I have to do it at different times and different ways. And
it would be ironic if most of your masturbating was to plumbers
mm-hmm.
fixing toilets.
Like when before this happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would
yeah.
have been great.
And having keys to your place and yeah. it would, or maybe it wouldn't be great because sometimes the fantasies you conjure up don't actually jive in the real
That's
world.
True.
So maybe you think it would be great and you'd be disappointed and it would ruin the fantasy.
Yeah.
It could have been worse.
Or as a fetishist, I might have been so turned on by their presence I couldn't have helped myself and that would have caused all kinds of legal problems.
Yeah, for sure. So it's interesting. When I think about people having to do work in your house, it's like I'm thinking like a day or two, but it sounds like it was like weeks of just living this way.
Yeah, and it wasn't, again, to be fair, it wasn't them in there all the time. It was
sure.
just having to live as if they could be there all
yeah.
the time. So then you get like the worst days are the ones where they're like, okay, I think we're done for the day. But
Probably.
They don't say they're short. And so the whole afternoon, you're kind of like, every noise you hear in the hallway, you think is them coming and you can't
yeah,
relax and you can't get any work done.
An example of a burden of working from home. For most people, mm-hmm. they would just be at work while this is happening, but you work from
yeah,
home.
Yeah, I work from home. And what happened was they gave me a little break. They didn't tell me they were giving me a break, but there was about a 4-day period right in the middle of this where they got behind on what they were doing and they stopped coming to my apartment. And I just went, to hell with these guys. I'm not going to wait on them. I'm going to start getting back to work. So I had about 4 days of getting back to my regular routine.
Right.
And then they served me this notice saying they had to extend the work.
Right.
And so I just, I had to give up. I was like, I can't do it. I shouldn't have done. I realized I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have delved back into my routine because now I'm getting wrenched from it like a child from the womb, pre-ready to leave womb style.
Yes.
And so all of a sudden, I'm just like, I had to let go. So I haven't touched my work in over a week.
This would be a challenge for anybody. But when I think about you and your personality, this sounds like it would be particularly challenging. Did anything good come out of this? Do you have a better toilet now? Does something work better in your
house? Funny you should mention that.
Thank you.
They broke my toilet, which was a new toilet that I loved because it had a dual flush thing on it.
Uh-huh.
So you had a peeper flush and a pooper flush.
That's becoming more popular.
I loved it, man. I loved choosing. Sure. You don't get choice in that situation.
So what, they broke it and you don't get to choose anymore?
They don't get to choose anymore. Not only did they break it, they broke the tank.
Mm.
And so they couldn't like just put in a new tank. They had to replace the whole toilet. The new toilet is the worst toilet I've ever had in my life.
You're telling me that after all this work that's been done, the net result is that your plumbing experience is worse in the house?
Well, at least I guess it depends on how important the toilet is. But what the specifically, I don't want to get too gross, people, so close your ears if you don't want to hear stories about poo.
Sure.
But the problem with the new toilet is it can't handle my poo load. You know what I'm saying?
I think so.
It doesn't want to flush everything.
Oh.
So it's like it. Whereas the old toilet with the dual.
I thought you said you didn't want to get too explicit, and then you got that explicit.
Wow, that's nothing. Tune in next week for my essay.
Where we really flush this
entitled "Poo
out,
Loads."
Not flush this out.
The old toilet allowed me to choose, and I would save water.
Uh-huh.
This new toilet is like a 5 or 6 flusher, so it's like way worse for water, which also annoys me because I thought my footprint had gotten smaller.
Well, I feel like we've poured through this particular bit of information pretty thoroughly. I feel satisfied that we've discussed that. Is there anything else in terms of catching up on your life other than this imposition of the plumbers?
We did pee, poop, and masturbation, right?
Right. Yes.
That's it.
That's it. Wow. It sounds like a prolific 2-month period.
Oh, I got one. I got one for you.
Sure.
I don't want to dominate stuff because I'm sure you've had stuff too, but this is interesting, I think. I'd love to hear your opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
On it. Facebook banned me.
Okay.
Specifically my page for Ask Keith Anything.
Why? What happened?
Big shrugs.
You'd have no idea.
Big ass shrugs.
One day you went and it was gone?
Yeah. So I got an idea. I think I understand what happened.
Okay.
But the process, as you know, Facebook is a giant mechanized thing. And what happened was they just told me to go F myself.
Okay.
And I went, okay, what do I do? And there's an appeal process.
Uh-huh.
But there's absolutely no guarantee a human ever sees those appeals.
Mm.
So they just punish you because their algorithm got tripped. And so now my page is gone for a month, and for all I know, when I do the same thing I've always done, which is post one link to my blog every single day, one post a day, for all I know, when I do that again on February 27th when this expires, I'm gonna hit the algorithm again.
No correspondence from Facebook indicating what the violation was. For you have no idea whether it's a mistake,
and I didn't change anything that I'd done. So I have a theory, which was that I posted if you don't know, I write a blog called Ask Keith Anything, and the way that blog is presented is it always has question at the beginning of each post.
Mm-hmm.
So it says question, colon, blah, 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 question mark. And so I post that link onto Facebook, and it says question, something at the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this particular question, and the questions are sent to me by people, so I don't form the questions myself. So despite the fact that it says question, what it was, the question was written like an ad. It was like, I'm an 18-year-old girl.
Oh, okay.
And I'm interested in sex or something like that. And so I posted it as I would any normal question.
Those ads.
Right?
Like a spam ad.
Like a spam ad. So I think that must have tripped this thing. And I'm hoping that
who
it just gives me.
Who asked the question?
I don't know.
You should blame that person.
Anonymous. So.
You should blame Anonymous.
Yeah. You're blamed, buddy.
The hacktivist organization.
Buddy. No, I would never blame that.
Well, that's weird. That's an interesting theory.
Isn't that weird?
I don't know. Basically, my takeaway from everything you're saying is I'm sure glad that I don't rely on Facebook. I don't know.
I wish I didn't have to, man.
I don't miss it. I don't miss it.
Well, I really want
to. I don't use it. I don't miss it. It's interesting for me to consider moving forward as I think about rebuilding my life, which if you listen to the show last week, you know I'm kind of in the process of thinking about putting some pieces back together in my life. You know, it's like the fact that I haven't been on Facebook, is that a reflection of me not participating effectively in society, or is it okay for me not to be on Facebook? I don't know, and I wonder about that, particularly if there's things that I want to do, and even things like this radio show, should it be on Facebook? But for me, the overall feeling I have is I feel better by not being on it. I don't begrudge other people being on it, but that's how I feel. So I wonder moving forward whether it's inevitable I have to go back on it. I have to say, in such a scenario, there's nothing I'd be looking forward to. The people that are in my life that I care about, I'm frequently in touch with, generally through texting or seeing them or calling them or mm-hmm. FaceTiming them.
Making sweet
love. And if there's things happening in their lives that they want to share with me, they do it. If they want to show me things, they send me the pictures. I don't really know what I'm missing. What am I missing, Keith?
I don't think you're missing anything. And I think the way for us as people who may or may not need a brand for some reason, me in particular with the writing and you mm-hmm. for whatever you're pursuing at any given time, you've mm-hmm. needed that brand for multiple things in your life mm-hmm. as a creative. I think that if it wasn't for that, it would be very easy to say, we don't need it. And the way to process that, I think, is think of it as like something you have to do for that brand. Like, I'm on Facebook just the same way that I would have a poster on the wall for my show.
So if you weren't promoting your writing in terms of the blog or whatever, if that was off the table, would you go off Facebook? Or would you miss it for the social benefit?
I would miss it for the social benefit.
You would.
And it's actually taken me a little while to come to terms with that. Because when this happened, I thought I was in the camp of I'm tired of this.
But the truth is, you gained something.
I always say that.
So what would you miss if you found out that your account was suspended for indefinitely? What would you miss tomorrow?
Because we like truth and we like honesty, I'm going to be honest.
Sure.
And the honest factor is I use it as like a smoke break. I use it as a break from my day. I look on there and I poke around at like what my uncle's doing in Newfoundland or what my wife posted at lunchtime. I use it as a way to just break up the day, and it's valuable to me for that.
And are you able to manage it in a way that it doesn't become addictive in the sense that it's compulsive or you're on there for too long? Do you smoke just as much as you want to smoke?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that because I thought I was the kind of person who hated it the whole time I was doing it. I was like, I hate this thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I got part of it cut off from me that I went, oh, maybe I should just leave. And I went, oh, no, but
I can't.
You'll kind of miss it. And besides the business side, I'm supposed to have a Facebook account because of my writing career. But other than that, I actually would miss it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't even know how long it's been. I feel like I haven't been on it for like over a year or something. But, you know, every once in a while, there'll be something come up like you go to sign up, create an account on a website, and you can enter your email and your password, or you can just log in using Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's when those little things happen, they're not enough for me to go back on. But it makes me realize, man, for a lot of people, like this is what happens. It's just it's so popularly used, so ubiquitous that it just becomes like. I think there's a lot of people that use it that don't really love using it, but it just feels like they kind of must.
Yeah.
I just challenge anybody out there who's considered this and they're not sure. It's like, you know, you can just deactivate your account. Take like a week. Take a week and find out that your life is falling apart without it. And if it is, then go back on and now you know. But if you don't try that, then how will you know? I think there's a lot of people that fall into this category of it's just thinking that they would miss it, but they might not. And I'm not saying you fall into that category, Keith, but out of the billion plus users or whatever, I don't think I'm the only person. I mean, I used to be a promiscuous Facebook user, especially when I had a band in Toronto. That was the name of the game in terms of.
And the band was called Conspicuous Promiscuous. I can't even say it.
No, it was called Promiscuous.
Promiscuous.
It's funny that you thought the band was called Promiscuous. that's how the name was arrived at. It was
Promiscuous.
It was a real tongue twister.
Sorry to interrupt, Kevin.
Anyway, whatever. We could talk about that forever. But you know what, Keith? We're dwelling on a lot of negativity here. We're talking about, you know, the difficulty you had peeing for a while. And now I'm ranting about Facebook. Let's talk about some positive things. Let's inject that into the show. And by the way, there will be an invitation to call into the show. As always, the number is 604-822-2487. I believe we actually are going to have a surprise caller that will be calling, I think, in the first half of the show. Mm-hmm. So we'll get the chance to talk to this mystery caller. But, you know, you don't have to be mysterious to call. You can just go ahead and do so if you feel like it.
You have to be a little bit ominous, but not mysterious necessarily.
You have to be a little bit of something.
Yeah. And you can't differentiate. You can call us. We'll let you know.
You call us. We'll figure it out. But so what else? What else do we want to – let's talk about the show. We've kind of caught up on a little bit. Unless there's something compelling that's happened in your life and you talked about your experience with plumbing, so you'd really have to, you know, one up that one.
Yeah, set the bar I'm of the belief that everything in my life is compelling, but I think those are the two big ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess let's reflect on the show a little bit. I did a little bit of that last week, but it's funny for us to think about, you know, how the show has evolved. We started it last June, and you know, initially the show was me doing some pre-recorded interviews. You know, one thing I'd like to do more this year is to get people in the studio. I don't know why it feels like it's hard to get people down here. Maybe it's because it's a Sunday evening,
yeah,
and it's a day of rest for people. Or maybe people find us objectionable. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think either of those things are entirely true. I think that would be fun for us to think about getting a third person in here. Different people, not just specifically a third person.
And not just a third person point of view.
No, literally a rotating cast of characters.
Not a narrator.
Keith, I got to interrupt for a second and indicate that we do have our mystery caller. And let me check. Caller, you're on the air. Let me check again. Caller, are you on the air? Hello, it's Chantel.
Hi, it's me, calling all the way from the county.
Yes, the county. It's Prince Edward County in Ontario. And Keith, have you ever met Chantel before?
I have not.
Chantel is a very good friend of mine from Toronto. And I guess you wouldn't have had occasion. Chantel did visit Vancouver about 5 or 6 years ago, so you might have met her then. Anyway, Keith, this is Chantel. Chantel, this is Keith.
So, hi, Keith. Nice to meet you virtually.
Mm-hmm. Virtually on the telephone. So Chantel is a friend of mine from Toronto that now lives in Prince Edward County. And when I went away for my 1 month hiatus and focused on my health, Chantel housed me and you know, gave me the encouragement to do that. But anyway, I earlier we were talking on the phone, and I encourage you to call in because whatever, we're just mixing it up, and we want to have, I was just saying to Keith, you know, one of the nice things here in the new year would be to have
tertiary energy,
which is to say, you know, other people participating in the show. So thank you for calling.
Basically, you want a threesome is what
we want. A threesome live on the air, so that we can titillate and
our stuff is awkward together. We need other stuff.
Yeah, Keith and I have been titillating each other for months.
Yeah, it's like two tin cans. It's not good.
We need the titillation to spread beyond just the twosome.
Yeah.
So thank you for doing that. And you know, it's not that we have a specific theme for the show and that we're asking you to contribute to that. We just wanted your energy. So we're just now going to receive your energy. And were you listening to the show earlier or no?
Sorry?
Did you hear the show earlier, the beginning of the show today?
I have not yet heard the show earlier.
Okay, good. So that's fine. I just wanted to clarify whether you'd already heard that we'd played this song earlier. This is Kenny G performing Auld Lang Syne, because really this is like the new year for me seeing Keith here. So I just want to combine the energy of the song with the energy of you now calling from Ontario and just see what that does for the show.
Yeah.
I'm feeling really warm and fuzzy right now.
Aw.
Yeah, it is a warm feeling.
It reminds me of the stress of resolutions. Did you have any resolutions this year?
No, I don't believe in resolutions because they're made to be broken, I feel like.
Did you?
Everybody starts off really good,
yeah,
and then within about a month they're dying off.
Yeah, well,
because they don't really have any resolve.
Not even a month. I feel like it's even just like a matter of a week. I think I've read that it's like on average it's like day six or something falls apart.
It's like January 2nd at the gym, January 3rd, no way.
Exactly, except for all the progress that Jeff's made. Sorry to turn it back on you, Jeff, but
yeah, Jeff, take that.
You've done some
defied
really good
the
work.
Odds. Well, you know, it's interesting. I think I talked about last week how
you've been resolute.
It happened to be the case that it fell at the end of the year, that or near the end of the year, that I kind of resolved to make some changes. But you know, to be technical, it actually in my mind wasn't like motivated by the fact that it was the end of the year. I feel like it arbitrarily happened to be, and I think that's the secret of my success, is disassociating myself from the reality that it did happen to be the end of the year. So I think that's the secret. If it's New Year's Eve and you're like, what's my resolution? How about your resolution is to disassociate from the fact that it is a New Year's resolution and just try to make it a life goal that happens to be happening at that time?
Right. And we've talked about this before. And really, at the end of the day, I mean, it's not about necessarily resolutions, but it's more about whether the pain associated with how you're living your life is greater than making a change or not. And sometimes making big lifetime changes are really difficult, right? And they seem like over the top and you can't, you know, see how you're going to actually do that. However, you know, there has to be a big pain that's associated with motivating that. And I think you were in, well,
big pain.
Sorry to say,
big pain.
You, but like, you know, all of us have been in situations like that where, you know, it's that's the motivating factor.
It's true. I totally agree. I think it's just a question of like how much you want something versus how much you need it. Yeah. And for me, it's like we always, no matter what's happening in our lives, there's always things that we want and things that may be totally attainable and we know it, but yet we don't have the discipline. And I think that's just the difference. It's like, is this yeah. something you really, 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 really want? Or something that for whatever your interpretation is, you need. And for me, as I talked about last week, I got to a place where it was like the stakes were huge. So, you know, it's been a challenge to be disciplined, but it actually hasn't been as impossible as it seems when you just kind of want to look better, when the stakes are kind of, you know, weak.
Arbitrary.
Yeah. But what you say that you don't believe in New Year's resolutions. Did you ever make them? Like, are you a wounded optimist about New Year's resolutions, or you just always knew that they were inherently flawed? Or was there like a year that you made one and it prompted a shift in your thinking?
I'm sure there was many, many, many years that I made them and they just didn't follow through.
Yeah.
But Tony Robbins turned me around.
He did?
No.
I mean, he could have. He's turned people around. I don't know.
You're like, yeah.
I'm like, oh, maybe he turned her around on the belief. Like, maybe he doesn't believe in New Year's resolutions either. I don't know.
No, well, it just comes back to, again, like, I mean, if you're going to make a change in your life, if you want to make a quote-unquote resolution, it's going to happen. It doesn't have to happen, like, you know, January 1st. It can happen, you know, September 15th and February 28th.
I think as long as you're drunk, it can happen, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
It's interesting how we read into what people say what we want to.
What?
Keith
really?
Is always
I don't
want us to believe
that
it's about alcohol and being drunk.
It's alcoholism.
Crazy.
Jeff.
Oh, alcoholism. right. I guess a couple things I want to know. You say there were at some point in your life resolutions that you tried and failed. Do you remember the last one, or do you remember one at all where it just didn't work out and that sort of contributes to your belief that it's flawed? Do you remember? Like, was there one with smoke? Like, all the cliches, like smoking or exercise or nutrition.
Like, no Tony Robbins jokes this year. Yeah. I'm going to do it, finally.
Does anything come to mind?
No.
No.
It's okay. We've got about 35 minutes,
and
so
what,
you can take
your
time.
You can hum and ha all you want. It's the hum-ha hour. Can you think about a time when you did change something in your life? Then just to move beyond this conversation about New Year's and just into a conversation about something that you did change, and why were you able to make that change?
I changed my my diet when I was about 20 years old. I was having, but again, it came down to like pain, but this happened to be physical pain. I was having headaches every day. I happened to be dating someone at the time who said that it wasn't normal that I would be, you know, consuming Advil, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 tablets of Advil every day.
Every day, wow.
To manage pain. Found out that I actually had some allergies to foods, wheat and dairy and what have you. And essentially went on a huge learning about my diet. And so, and because of this, I learned, you know, about nutrition and alternative therapies. So, yeah, that was a point in my life where I definitely, you know, remember making.
I'm sorry you went through that at such a young age, because.
Or are you? Because look at what it did for her.
Well, it was funny because it was at a time where there was no like gluten-free alternatives and all that kind of stuff. But it did, cascade into me becoming a nutritionist and learning about aromatherapy and changing my diet for the best.
Transformative in your life. It wasn't just it changed your behavior at that time, like it really set you down a path.
That's a great example. You answered that question very well.
It was a good one, right? Yeah
that was really good. You also used the word cascade really well, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah, Keith had a very a physical reaction.
Yeah,
actually,
visceral.
That.
I like, really,
but that's interesting because that changed the course of your life. And we were talking about pain. That was a specific physical pain, and knowing you, That's a sort of central characteristic of who you are, as somebody who's really knowledgeable and mindful about health and nutrition. And that's why I say to Keith, was it a bad thing? Because at a relatively young age, it put you on this path of taking care of your body in a way that for me is still a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Again, proportion to the pain you were feeling, right? Proportionate.
Yeah. Keith.
And that happened physical pain.
Yeah. How about Keith? Do you have an do you want to contribute to this? Do you have an example in your life of a specific goal? We can bring it back to the New Year's thing if you have one that failed, or maybe we're just moving entirely beyond that, something where you had to make a change and you did. I mean, you've made changes, I know, in your life in the last few years.
I'm with Chantel on the resolution thing, for sure. I've always thought it was total nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to change something, it's got to be motivated properly.
Yeah. You can't be waiting until everybody else is doing it. It's up to you to do it.
The catalyst has to be something real and within you, not timing.
So
timing
we
is
all
much
agree.
A catalyst.
We all agree. Screw New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, and scientifically, it doesn't pan out, right? No, it just
doesn't work.
It doesn't work. So.
Cool.
Well, the big one for me, I think we talked about it before, so I won't be too long-winded. But
Chantel might have questions, though, so you never know.
Yeah, okay. So pay attention, Chantel. Here it comes.
There should be a prize, like if she makes the right inquiries.
Ask the right question. Get a signed copy.
Yeah.
The big one for me was about 5 years ago when I chose to commit solely to novel writing.
Right.
When I'd sold some short stories and some poems, and I was doing pretty good. And then I said, I want to be a novel writer. That's my number one goal, so maybe I should just stop and write only novels. So I stopped all collaboration. And I focused really hard on creating novels and submitting novels.
Right.
And it produced a lot of work. I got very prolific. I'm at the end of that cycle now where I'm looking back and I need to make another change. But for that time in my life, it really, it embedded something in my identity about who I was as a writer and the fact that I'm willing to create the grit necessary to last in the long run. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll ever lose that.
Was it difficult to implement the change, or was it, it sounds like maybe it was just epiphanous and then you just changed it cold turkey?
Yeah, I think there's no better way to describe it than the way you guys already have, which is I needed it.
Yeah.
I felt like a need. Mm-hmm. I had to change something, and so I committed to it so completely that I didn't take a day off for 4 years, four straight years. Every day, Christmas, birthdays, I wrote every single day.
Total discipline because you know why you're doing it.
Yeah, whereas 10 years previous, I had not done that because it just wasn't important enough.
And let's also bring it over to health and nutrition, because Chantel's talked about nutrition for her, and I've talked about my experience last week. I know that you have your own experience with making modifications mm-hmm. in terms of nutrition and exercise to change how you feel and some of your health concerns. So how about you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Chantel, you didn't have anything to say on the writing thing there, did you?
Well, I did, because I wanted to ask, was this a question of essentially going out on your own? And, you know, were you collaborating with someone else and then you decided that you were going to, you know, do this on your own? Or was this a shift in a specific type of writing for you?
No, it wasn't a shift in writing. I think it was goals, right? I think that's where resolutions come from. And that's the positive thing about resolutions is oftentimes people are saying, I want to achieve this. And so I think for me, it was just a case of stopping. I wasn't getting where I wanted to be. Stopping and reevaluating what my actual long-term goal was, which was to be doing a book signing and a reading and handing my novel to someone who was using that to escape their crappy life. You know, that's what I wanted. And so it was a simple as clarifying the long-term goal, which I think is very, very difficult for a lot of people and was for me as well up until that point.
Yeah.
I like the question. Feel free to ask more questions. I like that. It was nice for me to hear. This is cool. Like, you know, my instinct is that this year, one of the things that's going to make the show different is injecting the presence of a third party.
And hiring Chantel.
Yeah, and hiring Chantel.
Hiring Chantel to call every
cutting her
week.
In for 10% of her gross earnings. We're going to cut you in for 10%. Hopefully you realize that that's 10% of nothing.
I need 15.
Okay, we'll give you 15% of nothing. No problem.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to run that by some people.
Wait a second. How about 20?
Do you have more questions with that, or would you like to move on to Keith now talking about his own experience with motivation vis-a-vis health and nutrition? Chantel, ladies' choice.
I like what you said, Jeff.
Okay. So let's transfer over there.
I'm not sure if it parallels your journey, but I had to go off a lot of stuff myself. Same thing, a lot of bad symptoms. Never had them before. Had a good run eating whatever I wanted, and then I've had to get rid of many, many things.
You've lost a lot of weight, too. Let's talk about that a bit, because for a lot of your 20s, maybe into your 30s, you were, to whatever extent, slightly overweight.
Mm-hmm. You're looking for the word handsome, but I get it.
Handsome and slightly overweight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, it wasn't, to me, there was efforts made to manage that, but I feel like in the last 2 or 3 years, there's been a breakthrough.
Yeah, I was a bit
slim over there, actually.
A bit yo-yo-y on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was one of those things where I don't even know if I can take credit. It's like, if there's a God, he was just like, so you're not going to do it yourself? take pains in the belly. And
right,
I was like,
so the pain,
oh, okay.
The pains in the belly, like Chantel with the headaches,
yeah,
caused you to make the changes.
So then I stopped eating bad things. Wheat, I mean, wheat's the devil, let's be honest.
It really is, eh?
And so I stopped eating wheat, and sure enough, I became svelte,
wow.
Attractive to both sexes.
Wow.
I find myself less
wow.
oily. There's still hair in some weird places, but not in as many weird places.
Yeah.
My wife
reducing.
Looks at me with less disgust. It's just been
you are
going
looking,
great.
You're wearing a t-shirt here, Keith, and are you looking slimmer than when I saw you last?
I don't know. Probably. I think I probably put on a few pounds of Christmassy weight.
Right. Maybe some of it's coming
because
back
I have a chef brother who made an incredible Christmas dinner for me that was within my dietary constraints.
Oh, cool, cool.
So I ate a lot over Christmas. So I'm probably like, I wouldn't be surprised if I was up 5 pounds or so since last you saw me, but I'm carrying it all better.
Let's
right?
discuss those dietary restraints because, as we say, we have Chantel on the phone here who has some knowledge about this stuff.
Oh.
So let's, because I know that you were going through a process, was it in
yeah, it's
the fall?
It's the low FODMAP thing.
Okay.
Do you know about that, Chantel?
The which one?
The FODMAP?
The low
FODMAP.
I think you should break it down for
okay.
both of us. So
it's fermentable oligodimonosaccharides and polyols. And so it's all these carbohydrates that ferment in your belly. And they're typical. It's a typical diet for IBS sufferers.
Okay.
And didn't you have to go through a process where you had to test these things?
Yeah, there's
like
an elimination.
Allergy
test,
so almost.
I'm actually still in the middle of it.
Oh,
because
you are? So it's a drawn
I haven't been
process.
Able to do it. This is funny because not to go too off book here, Chantel, but we were talking earlier about my poops. And
yes,
this was one of the problems. Thank you. This was one of the problems with having the plumbers in my house is I couldn't do my testing for fear that it would make me have to poop a lot and then have to run to the Safeway to do the poops.
So it kind of messed with that.
So for 2 months, I've had to put my testing on hold. So it's
so you're back in the game now, though.
Well, not until they're done. I don't trust them. They gave me a notice that said they're done, but very soon, yes. The answer is
okay.
Very soon I'll be back
good.
Testing. But I've been feeling better anyway. So
okay,
just
good.
The elimination diet, it took longer than they said. They said 6 to 8 weeks. I've been doing it for 4 months now.
Wow.
But I'm starting to feel
yeah.
better. And I've tested a couple of things. And I'm actually at the point now where I'm not sure that any of the food things are really what was causing the symptoms. But that's
okay.
a whole other can of worms. And what's really relevant to what we're talking about is that I think I'm going to eat this way moving forward anyway.
Good.
Like, no matter what I find and no matter what else may be wrong, this has made me feel good and it's made me lose weight. All
so
those positives
it,
I said.
It caused you to make these changes, which you might have considered before you had to test it like a scientist.
Yeah.
And you've learned, oh, actually, I feel better for this.
Yeah, even partway through this, I've decided that I'm not. Like, what would be nice is to find out that none of this hurts me too bad, and so I don't have to be a burden on the people that I socialize with.
Right.
Because that has been an issue for me.
Right.
But if I can, when I prepare my food, if I can eat this way solely for that and then have a few bad experiences
sure.
spread out throughout my life, so be it.
So just
but I think I'm gonna eat that way for myself.
So
yeah.
just for my clarification, what are the foods that have been eliminated or introduced as a result
it's
of this
just
process?
It's impossible to
or
describe
just examples?
It.
Yeah.
Anything?
The elimination diet has to do with like very like allergenic foods that you start to eliminate. So top being like wheat, for instance,
yep.
then you eliminate dairy, then you eliminate soy, then you eliminate corn. The list goes on and on and on. You can eliminate citrus foods and like cashew nuts and specific nuts and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to slowly reintroduce them into your diet to see. I mean, the elimination diet is essentially a way for you to tune into your body. And that, at the end of the day, is the most important thing to remember is, like, tuning into your body. Because I feel like a lot of us don't tune into our body. We can be having pain, as I did, for instance, for a very long time in the way of headaches. And I was just masking it with these Advils, with pain medication. And Keith, you were masking, I guess, your pain in a different way, like
and by eating more pizza.
and you were having belly aches and what have you. And you know, a lot of us go through our day without realizing that there might be pain or discomfort in our body. And you start to eliminate certain types of food, and then slowly start to reintroduce them. And when you eliminate them for long enough, you can start to like really sense them. When they come back into your diet, you can actually
yeah.
sense
yeah. You want to clear the palate, right? And so
yeah.
you can figure out
and then
exactly
you can
what's
be
bothering
like,
you.
Oh, that doesn't feel right.
Yeah. And it does. It teaches you. To go without that pain does teach you a lot. I'm, like I said, I'm still in the middle of that process, so I can't speak to it very much. But I'm encouraged by what's happened so far, and I'm hopefully going to learn more.
And again, for me, I'm quite ignorant about all this, so I'll sort of be the mouthpiece for people like me who want to understand this well. When you say that wheat is something you're avoiding, does that mean that you're not having sandwiches or pizza or basically anything that is bread? Is that what it means? Wheat equals bread?
Yeah, well, gluten... gluten's usually the issue. I know there's specific wheat, and maybe Chantel can make the differentiation. To my knowledge, most things I can't eat are both gluten and wheat, but there are specifics. So
no more pizza?
Well, there's gluten-free options, right?
Okay.
So you can make flour out of many things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's solutions. There's alternatives.
Yeah, there's ways to figure it out. And I'm at the point where I don't miss wheat at all.
Really?
Yeah.
What were the wheat items that you formerly enjoyed?
All of the items.
Such as?
Like everything you ever eat and everything you pick up at a supermarket.
Has wheat?
Everything,
like, give
man.
Me anything because I just
everything
don't know. Like, I won't
cereal,
know unless you tell me, right?
Bread.
Yes.
Donuts.
Yeah.
Cake.
Yeah.
Candy.
Man, you pick up, you go like, I'm going to get some sausages for supper because it's just protein and there's
exactly
wheat crumbs in it.
Exactly. Hamburgers. Everything has
what?
Like,
yeah, you're like, I'm going to get some
yes
friggin' Cheetos. It's like, no, wheat, lactose, all kinds of crap in there.
Wow.
Anything that's a label, you just don't, you pretty much, I spent weeks and weeks cumulative time reading labels at the grocery store and learning
labels
that 90% of those things I just can't eat.
Yeah, and you learned about that too,
I've
Jeff,
been learning
actually
too. For me, it's sugar,
about
right? For
sugar.
Keith, it's wheat,
right.
And for me, it's sugar.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That's what's interesting to me. Like, this is why I'm asking, because I don't know, right? You say wheat, I'm thinking, oh, he can't have sandwiches or pizza. But you're telling me it's almost
yeah
everything.
When it hurts
with
you,
sugar,
that's when you're learning.
With sugar,
yeah,
somebody might think, okay, fine, I can't have Coca-Cola and I can't sprinkle sugar on my cereal. And then you realize, no, the cereal already has sugar
yeah
in it, like everything
yeah
else.
Carbohydrates.
So for me, like, that's one of the key elements of my weight loss is basically just like pretty much anything at all that has sugar that's possible for me to eliminate, at least for the time being, it's eliminated. You know, mm-hmm, it's gone. Because I just associate, for me, that's the explanation for me in terms of the weight gain more than anything, is just like so much sugar
yeah
all
man
day and everything I'm eating.
It's carbs, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your body doesn't like that stuff at all.
If you're just tuning in, folks, it's CITR 101.9 FM. This is Now We're Talking. Jeff Bryan alongside Keith Kennedy with special guest caller all the way from Prince Edward County in Ontario, Chantel Tremblay. Who, I guess, I mean, we weren't thinking about what the conversation would be, but really what we're doing is we're taking advantage of your expertise and knowledge in the area of health and nutrition. It started out with a conversation about discipline and goals, but this is interesting. It's kind of become the health show. We're
mm-hmm
talking about how people eat, and this is such a, for me, and I guess it's always kind of hard to separate between something that's happening in your own life and understanding whether it happens to be happening broadly in society. For me, it's a relatively new thing gaining knowledge about this, but I also feel like collectively our culture is becoming more and more mindful of like the significance of what we eat, you know, whether it's genetically modified, what's in it, the assumptions about what we eat, how it affects how we feel mentally and physically. And I mean, you know, Chantel,
yeah,
for yourself,
there,
you're saying that for you it was about 20 years ago that you started thinking about this. But for me, it's relatively new, and it's exciting to think about not just like for myself, just kind of going through life unquestioning and sort of suffering, but actually making some of these positive changes.
There's a lot of diets out there. There's a lot of, you know, fad diets and what have you. I think at the end of the day, you just have to consider whole food, you know? I mean, that is the healthiest diet you're going to... at the end of the day, you don't want to read any labels. You just want to eat whole food.
Yeah, there's an acronym.
Whole grain.
There's an acronym called JERF, J-E-R-F, Just Eat Real Food. And when I thought about this, I thought, oh my God, this
JERF
makes so much sense. My name is Jeff.
Uh-huh.
Just eat fast food. That's how I've been living my life. Like, now I know.
That's our time, ladies and gentlemen.
Now I know why I'm Jeff, because I've just been eating fast food.
I'm going to call you JERF for the
rest of your
life.
Well, this is the question. If I want to affect meaningful change in my diet, this is my question I'll pose to each of you, and I'll get each of you to answer this. Is it important for me to change my name to JERF, or can I still be Jeff but just eat JERF style? Keith.
I think it's very important for you to change your name to JERF.
And like legally? Like, yes. Actually go through the whole process?
If possible, first and last name.
The whole rigmarole?
Just jerf it.
And my name is actually Jeffrey, so should it be Jerfrey?
Yes.
Chantel, I'll pose the same question Jeffrey, to you. Is it Jeff Jeffrey, or is it Jerf Jeffrey. In 2017?
I do really like Jerf, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, you do.
but what if it became just eat fruit food or something healthy?
Just
as an
eat fresh. Fresh food.
Just eat fresh, fatty.
Oh, okay, okay, cool. Yeah. Okay, so it's just still Jeff
food.
Then? Yeah. We saved it, folks. I almost became Jerf.
Whatever.
Oh, thank God. That was close.
We made a mistake here today, people.
Keith, you can still call me Jerf
this
if you want
to. This is as close
to
Jerf as we're ever going to get.
You can still do that if you want,
25
Keith.
Years of work.
You're still allowed. Well, Chantel, thank you so much for calling. I feel like it was a very fresh and fruitful conversation. And I'm glad that we were able to get in there and talk about some of the stuff that you know about. And hopefully... I know that typically you work on Sunday nights, but hopefully there's other extenuating circumstances that allow you to call again.
I would love to. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, thanks again.
Pleasure, Chantel.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya. Folks, that's how it's done. You call 604-UBC-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. What are we going to do? We're going to
put your ass on the air.
On the air.
Ass on the air.
Ass on the air.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. That's what'll happen. I mean, the show, we've got about 15 minutes left. My God, Keith, you know, when we first started doing the show, I brought my prescription glasses, which I had newly acquired at the time, thinking maybe I'll wear them in the studio so I can see better. And I thought, I don't need them. But I think it's as I'm looking at the time, as I'm looking at the number to call, I think I need to start wearing glasses in the studio. I think I need to do it.
You're talking about being old.
I'm getting older. It's getting harder to see things. But then I got to squint. As long as I squint, it's 604-822-2487, a number, of course, that I should have long since memorized, but I have not, and I refuse to on principle because I enjoy squinting. But please do give us a call if you want to continue the conversation we were just having or whatever. Just tell us what's going on. Maybe talk about your perspective on New Year's resolutions or changes that you've tried to make in your life. Maybe you're trying to do that right now. Maybe you're failing. Maybe you're succeeding. Maybe you need some encouragement. Maybe you want to be boastful about it. The invitation is there to call. Keith, before Chantel called, we were going to begin discussing some reflections on what the show was last year and what the show might be moving forward. The show's still going to be called Now We're Talking. It's still going to consist of you and I. But what is your perspective on some things that were working for the show last year, some things that weren't working? What's your sense of how the show is going to move forward this year?
I'm not sure. I mean, I've always been of two minds. There's both extremes. I have a history of dealing with both extremes. And what I mean by that is a very prepared, pre-written performance or winging it.
Just like so to be clear, the two options are winging it like we're improvising,
yeah,
or scripted like we literally get together throughout the week and we create like a 60-page treatment
for the
episode.
Yeah, as if we were writing
and it's dialogue.
A comedy show, yeah.
It's literally like
And I'm not saying that either one of those is what we should be doing.
No,
I'm saying I've had experience with both of those, and I've preferred when we air towards winging it. I mean, there's something charming about us coming on here live and not knowing exactly what we're going to be talking about.
Plus, it's a lot less work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was actually
that
the number
too.
One. I was going to get to that reason
right.
And then reorder it, so that was number one.
Right, you're doing it in reverse order.
Yeah, so I didn't sound like too much of a lazy piece of crap.
Yeah, we're going to save that for the end.
Yeah, just but the truth is, yeah, it's way easier to just not think about it. And then you're like, oh, this thing.
Oh, dear.
And then you just talk about poop for 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah, well, I think that having Chantel call in, I think that felt... good, just like
yeah,
I was
did.
Saying. Didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Did you notice that?
Yeah. It might just be because she's nice.
Yeah, exactly. She might have set the bar mm-hmm. too high.
Yeah. Damn it.
No, I think there's something to that, though.
Chantel.
Especially when she asked you a question.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you clarified if she had a question for you about that, because I watched that happen, and I thought, oh, this is good to let somebody else ask the question.
Yeah, it was cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she asked it of me. You know I like having questions asked of me.
You do like that.
Yeah. Is that a call? What's going on there?
No, I'm just, you know, squinting again.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm squinting at the board, Keith, don't worry. It doesn't
I was
mean
say, that's good form for when you're doing a radio show.
It doesn't
show.
Mean there's a call.
When one of the two people in the room does something,
yeah.
Instead of taking up the slack and talking, I just asked you what you were doing.
That's true. Yeah. It's a hell of a device, isn't it? It's a hell of a technique. Okay, well, I think I hear your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, that's a broad answer. I don't quite know what we should do.
We don't know.
I don't know what. I don't even know if what we want to do is what will help the show.
Yeah.
Right. So it's about. I think maybe it's about trying to get as much feedback as we can.
Yeah.
And then doing exactly what someone individually tells us to do and not thinking about it at all.
Yeah, and I think for me it's just a question of you know, we're friends hanging out every week here, and I don't want the show to run the risk of just being, you know, us hanging out, and I don't want it to exclude people. I want people to feel like they're interested in the show, they can call, they want to be a part of the show. So,
and it is supposed to be entertainment.
It is supposed to be.
We don't want it to fall into Jeff and Keith Ketchup Hour.
Exactly, and that's why it felt so nice to have Chantel call, because it felt like it felt like it contributed something. So yeah. Again, folks, you're invited to call if you want. The show's on for the next 10 minutes, after which there will be more quality programming here at CITR, and tonight, of course, at 7 o'clock, More Than Human, hosted by Gareth. That's the case every single week. Gareth was here last week after the show, and he's here pretty much every week. He was here during the hiatus. We weren't, but he was keeping it happening around here, so I'm glad that you're listening to CITR, and I'm glad you're listening to our show right now. Why are you listening to the radio? I always want to know that. That's something you could explain to us. Is it because, as I've said before, are you under the misapprehension that there's been some sort of catastrophic event like an earthquake, and you've just found your wind-up radio in the in your earthquake kit, and for some reason it's accidentally dialed to 101.9, and you thought it was the CBC. And now you're listening and you're thinking, what is this? I need to know. I don't know. Let us know, because otherwise we'd just be guessing. But we're very glad that, you know, we had people calling in last year. We did have some guests last year at the beginning of the year when I did some pre-recorded interviews. So, you know, we're happy to have people involved, because we, it's just, I think that it's so easy just to come here and just sort of pretend like we're hanging because we're having a good time, but keeping it open.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping it open.
Yeah. So maybe we should get people to petition us.
Petition us. Yes.
Like, say why do you get to come on our show?
Oh, okay.
Maybe give them the email and.
Hold on. So you're saying that they need to flesh this out so I understand. They need to make a case for being on the show.
Yeah. I mean, they could call.
Right.
For free, no problem.
Right.
So maybe if they want to get their ass in the studio.
Oh, here live in the studio.
Yeah.
Right. Because of course there's some security concerns. You know.
Yeah.
If you're going to come in here.
Yeah. We need to extreme vet them.
It's harder to get them out. You know, when somebody calls up, it's easy to get them out.
Yeah,
just press
super
a button.
Easy. I've seen
you.
You
can't
do it,
press a button to get somebody out of the studio. You have to use your cunning.
Well, I can press the kung fu button.
You have access to the kung fu button?
Yeah, man.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I've never seen you. Have you ever had to depress
I've
that button?
I've never had to do it, and that's why you learn it.
Ah, right. So you never have to make
twirling my mic now, baby.
Oh, yeah. You should see it, folks. If only this was a visual medium, you'd see that Keith is not exaggerating whatsoever.
Just daltried the hell out of that.
What about ping pong? Can we talk a little bit about table tennis?
I would love to talk about table tennis.
Let's talk about that. And I asked that question because recently I've gained access to a table tennis table.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you and I had a period before where we were able to indulge in using that table, and that period is bound to resume.
Yep.
But, and I say table tennis, of course, because you reject the label ping pong, don't you?
I do a little bit.
You do. And that's because you're a table tennis purist.
I am.
You grew up playing table tennis.
I played it, yeah.
And you still continue to have a passion for the game,
right?
Yeah,
I played it competitively, which is in that sort of soul-crushing way where someone yells at you. And so when that happens, you don't call it by its hobby name.
Right. The sport is called table tennis.
Sport. If it's ping pong, if we're in your basement, I guess. But
have you not been playing for some time now?
I haven't played since last you and I played.
Is that right, eh?
Yeah.
Do you ever miss it, or you just accept?
Yeah, I love it.
You do love it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
It's very distinct. It's a very strange and distinct game. It's separated by being a singular game,
mm-hmm.
a sport, which I really like. I've always liked solo sports because I don't play well with others. And it's a racket sport, which is also something I really like. And strategically, it's quite fast.
Yeah.
You're making decisions a lot quicker than you are in, say, tennis, which is another sport I played.
Yeah.
You're just really, there's a lot going on. A lot of instinct and a lot of strategy all at once, all in your face, very fast.
So mentally, it's quite a quick game.
Yeah, I dig that.
Yeah, and I like the fact that it's, you know, accessible too. You know, it's like your skill level is quite a bit higher than mine, but you and I are still able to enjoy rallying and maybe even playing some games. And
yeah, you can ping some pong.
I can ping some pong, but can I pong some ping? It's
not without permission.
Not without permission. You got to check with Mr. and Mrs. Ping.
Yeah, it's just rude.
Yeah,
to it's assume. Just,
yeah, you got
to
be gentlemanly about that kind of thing. Well, I'm looking forward to that. It would be cool if we could Maybe we should do an episode where we live broadcast playing
table tennis?
A little table tennis game in here or something.
Or we could pre-record a game.
Yeah, or just pre-record the sound of throwing ping pong balls against the wall, and it will vaguely sound like a game.
Yeah, it won't be hard to pre-record that. No. It could just be you and I swearing for like 30 seconds, and then the sound of a table tennis bat hitting the wall.
This is the kind of work that we could do to really shore up the potential of this show.
Yeah.
If we were willing to have some production meetings and schedule some production sessions, that'll happen.
That's probably going to happen.
Or we could just go on YouTube and find the sound of people playing ping pong.
Yeah,
we could
probably find like 30 seconds.
That would be a lot easier. Keith, there's still about 5 minutes left in the show. Callers, you're still invited to call 604-822-2487 if you'd like to. But Keith, I know that you have some notes there. You've lived some life since I've seen you. Is there anything that you needed to slip in for the record?
Yeah, well, we can save some life for next week. But there's one thing in particular I saw on the internet today that I wanted to share with you. And I don't want to be... Oh!
Keith, we've got a call. I'm going to take it, and then hopefully we'll get to what you have to say as well. Okay. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Well, hello. Who's this?
It's Sheila.
Is this the return of Sheila?
It is.
Keith, you remember Sheila, right?
Of course.
What's going on?
I'm just driving from Fort Whitland.
Oh, really? I apologize, but I'm noticing that I tend to lilt into your accent. It's flattering. It's not meant to be. I'm not mocking you or anything like that.
Thank you. But I just want to say it's very hard to hear y'all in Fort Whitland.
Is it?
Go all the way over there.
Because the reception is not good? Is that the problem?
That's the problem. But
oh.
I need to say this real quick here. Keith?
Yeah.
Going down
in table tennis
at ping pong.
Oh, ping, is that what they call it in West Virginia?
Oh, honey, it is ping pong through and through.
Keith, how do you feel about that?
I feel it's hard for me because I'm a nice person in general. I feel that there's a very large difference between someone who plays ping pong and someone who got yelled at for their form while practicing for hours and hours.
I will tell you, one particular stroke. I can relate. I'm a tennis player. And ping pong was our life for fun in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get it yelled at, but I understand where you're coming from with the term. But I love to play pong. You know, I just love the name.
Well, if you love the name Pong, did you ever play that classic video game, one of the original video games from, I think, the late 70s, right, Keith?
Donkey Kong.
Called Donkey Pong. No, it was called Pong. Did you ever play Pong?
I did play... video game. I don't know if I actually play pong. I play pool on
candyshack.com. Oh, there you go. On .com. So it's a website.
The website thing.
Oh, so you've had access to the website. So it sounds like you play physical sports on the internet. You sound quite versatile in sort of pursuing pong.
Yeah, I've always heard of Keith. Actually, through the grapevine, that I hear that you're a good table tennis player.
Mm-hmm.
I never got the chance to experience that, but I just want to let you know that you watch your back.
Yeah, I understand. I think the problem I have is I don't want to be the kind of person who says, definitively, I will destroy you at something. But the problem is I have a history of ruining people's fun. That's the actual truth.
By being so much better than them?
Yeah, and it's hard to just play for fun when someone else wants to show you how good they are.
Sheila, how do you feel about that? I mean, to me, it sounds like Keith believes that he's way better than you and he's not really taking you seriously. Is that how do you feel about that?
I just got to open up the book and welcome my
life. Right. People underestimating you?
That, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I have to ask also, before we run out of time, you say that you're driving back from Port Coquitlam, and you say that the reception for the show is bad in Port Coquitlam. Are you driving back so you can get better reception for the show?
Yeah. Beating my ass off. Just to
atta girl.
Oh, make sure you speed safely. But I think that's a great testament that we can have a fan of the show who's literally driving towards us right now so they can hear the show better.
Yeah.
Sheila, we've pretty much run out of time for the show, but it's great to have you back. You remember Sheila called a couple times in 2016.
Please call again.
We hadn't heard from you in a while. We went on hiatus, but it's nice to know that our first show back with Keith, that you're still in the mix. So thank you so much for listening, driving towards us, calling, and for playing ping pong.
My pleasure. Take care.
Okay, drive
Bye,
safe.
Sheila.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, would you look at that? You know, last week I actually played a clip. It was at Halloween that Sheila called in. I played that clip. So, there she is.
Yeah,
you know, it's
man.
Nice. That's one thing.
Series regular.
That's one thing that was good about the show last year. I say it as if there weren't many things. That's one thing I can conjure up. No, that's one thing that comes to mind that was great about the show last year was having series regulars, and that's cool that she was one of them. And maybe we can have more of them moving forward in the new year. Keith, we're pretty much wrapping up the show right now, folks. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. Keith has been alongside me, as always, and it has been a while since we've done this. But we are back. We're glad to be back. And stick around for some more programming. Have a good night. See you next time.
Later.